welcome to a new installment of Powerful Insights. This is Kevin Donahue, Senior Director with Protivity. I am very pleased to be talking today with Tyrone Canaday. Tyrone is a Managing Director with Protivity and our Global Head of Innovation. Tyrone, thanks for joining me today.
Great, Kevin. Good to talk to you again.
Tyrone, I wanted to get your insights or some of your takeaways from some of these events you've been attending over the past couple months, ranging from Empire Startups, FinTech Week, to Finnovate 2018, Consensus, which is a big blockchain event, and also Comply 2018, focusing on RegTech. I'm sure you have some interesting insights from these events. Why don't you share some of those with us?
Absolutely. You know, just coming off FinTech Week in New York, like you mentioned, and some of the other conferences, Finnovate 2018 in Silicon Valley, and then this week, actually, with Comply 2018 and Consensus in New York. It's just been a lot of activity, a lot of good discussion, and a lot of progression, frankly, around a number of fronts in financial services and technology. But I'd say some of the key things were around this aspect around advancing the customer experience, around this super personalization. And so, you know, as you start to look at the banking and payments industries, which is, you know, was on the bleeding edge of that, they've matured quite a bit, especially in jurisdictions like the UK. And I would say a lot of the changes right now are really occurring more on the edges or the periphery. A lot of the cores have been built and set. And so now you're looking at different innovative third parties or fintechs that can add, you know, specific capabilities to the fringes that enhance the customer experience. And so we saw that, you know, with Goldman Sachs and some of the stuff they're doing around Marcus on, you know, the acquisition of Clarity. But really, you know, looking at, you know, things like asset, you know, visualization, like where do you hold your assets and doing more graphical interfaces around that, looking at spending habits. There's one capability, actually, one company called, Starling Bank in the UK that really impressed with their, you know, their user experience and their API integration. It's almost has this, I would say, Apple App Store feel to it. And so, I would say that's really the first theme. Was really around super personalization. And under that, you know, you started to see other types of advancements around AI. I know we talked in the last time around AI and some of the work that's been being done in that space, but there's a number of fintechs that are starting to push that forward. And, you know, a lot of the things that were talked about was, you know, AI really driving the next paradigm shift of the user experience or the UI, and really moving towards this virtual assistance. And, you know, in Silicon Valley, last few weeks, you know, there's a lot of buzz around the new Google I/O and the Google Duplex. I think a lot of people saw, you know, the work that's been done in that space where AIs be able to, you know, create more human types of responses with the voice inflection and the more conversational speech responses. But there's going to be a lot more leveraging of virtual assistants in our day-to-day, really helping us to, you know, proactively schedule routines and, you know, start to give you predictions on weather or make appointments. And so a lot of these interfaces that used to be more mobile, they're talking about AI really enhancing that and changing that to voice activated interfaces. So that was a very interesting concept. And then I would say last thing around the personalization and customer experience, just looking at the next financial product that's ripe for disruption. There's been a lot of talk around disruption in mortgage and lending. And, you know, really interesting fintechs, a lot of fintechs in that lending space where they're working right at that sweet spot between, I would say, mid-range kind of rates, but also speed to market in terms of getting loans out there. Typically the best financing in terms of rates come from the banks, but the customer experience is very poor and they're also very slow and cumbersome. And on the other side, you can get quick financing from other outfits, but you'll usually end up paying a lot higher on the rate. So there's a sweet spot in the middle there. There's one fintech in particular that we saw out in Silicon Valley called Kasasa, and they've got a pretty interesting innovative mortgage product that allows you to flexibly change up your payments on your mortgage through this Kasasa loan. So if you've kind of paid in advance, then you can have this ability to take back those funds at any point in time. So if you have a life event, it allows the platform to kind of scale and readjust your amortization schedule. So that was a pretty interesting aspect. Outside of that, I think the other key themes, you know, the regulatory environment was another big topic of discussion across all the different conferences. That continues to be, I would say, a big inhibitor to just advancement in the U.S., other jurisdictions. You know, there's things that are happening in the U.K. and we talked about in Asia Pac around different aspects that are advancing around reg tech and then some of the standards that they're putting out there. But even in Japan, like, we're seeing things where regulators are allowing some of the companies, especially the innovative ones, to self-regulate and start to work with them collaboratively to help shape the emerging technology innovations and regulation around that. Another discussion that's been talked about a lot is that when you start to create new products and services, there almost needs to be involvement from regulatory involvement and also cyber from the beginning. And a lot more, I would say, acceptance from the technology community to do that. And there's a lot more collaboration, and they're seeing where, you know, some of these inputs from the regulatory groups and also security groups early can help mitigate a lot of pain points down the road as you start to go through development and product launch, and actually seeing more of a cultural mind shift of having them involved in these meetings, because it actually creates it helps the creativity process. And then lastly, around regulatory, just scaling scaling some of these innovative third parties as they're starting to get a lot more business. How do you start to get them ready for, some of the company transformation aspects? You look at, some of the things that happened late in December, where a lot of the companies, especially in the digital asset spaces, were gaining a lot of momentum, and there's a lot of run-up with some of those companies. And so how do you scale when you've gone from a small startup to now kind of an enterprise like organization, and you need to have the right policies and procedures and controls in place? So there's a lot of things that you need to mature around your, things like your business continuity plan, your vendor space, your cyber, things around SOX compliance and your technology that needs to make sure it scales in conjunction to your business. And I'd say lastly, the big theme in the talk was next gen disruption. And, this past year there wasn't anything in terms of the killer app. I think there was a lot of innovative third parties that are out in the space. There wasn't anything that really took a big leap. But there's been a lot of investments made in different emerging technologies. And a lot of folks are talking, especially now with this, right up after we had this meeting with, the big conference of consensus here in New York City. We're on the verge of a widely adopted blockchain or DLT solution, and that's really what the talk is right now, especially with recent announcements from Santander around cross-border, as that being a step in the right direction. I know Amex has got some projects that they're working on the blockchain, which would be big news. But, there's kind of two camps on blockchain, some that see the vast potential of blockchain applications in the future, and others that, think that right now it's just kind of overhyped and there hasn't been really the adoption and the expected traction as of yet. But I think, like we said, it sounds like we're, from talk in the industry, we're on the verge of a widely accepted solution. And so that's one to watch just around blockchain. Also, just around, in next-gen disruption, as you move to more of a, decentralized model, there's just an increasing landscape for cyber complexity and surface area. And that was really a big topic, the cybersecurity aspect around bad actors and the ones that are going to be out there in the decentralized environment. How do you start to guard against that in a more integrated way? Even internal to your organization, it's hard to understand all the known and unknown threats and all the assets that you have in your environment. So that proves to be challenging. But then, from a security point of view, you can't just understand 90% of your environment, because that 10% that you're not looking at is where you could be vulnerable. So all the aspects around shadow IT, just understanding what's inside your environment, then the added complexity is the environment starts to become more elastic. That exacerbates the challenge. You start to look at the third, the fourth, the fifth party risks. What's the way to do that? And is security going to be something where, you start to, how far down the network do you go, and does identity need to be something that's really consolidated within the organization, or is it something that's going to be decentralized throughout? And that's a debate that's continually going on in the cyberspace. We're also seeing the burgeoning partnerships between Wall Street and Silicon Valley, so you're starting to see that convergence a little bit. And that was another theme around next-gen disruption and really, I would say, an interesting pattern to watch. Goldman and Apple announced their partnership on Apple Pay. We've also had seen some news around Amazon and the things that they're doing with JPMorgan Chase around the different accounts that provide value-added services, in addition to the partnership with Berkshire Hathaway and JPMC around employee healthcare. So those are all some of the next-gen disruption types of themes that were out there, which were very interesting. But you know, I'd say one thing, as you start to look at yourself as an institution and kind of keeping up with the pace of innovation, I know Protiviti has been helping a lot of institutions out with just the agility and the ability to really partner with the innovative third parties, provide capabilities to move quickly and nimbly, but also make sure that you're not having an overbearing process where it takes such a long time to integrate and work with these third parties, because that's a big, I would say, a big challenge as well.
Tyrone, that was a great rundown. Thank you. I had one question. What are you seeing, and you touched on some of this, but what are you seeing in terms of, I guess, engagement or progress from startup born digital type companies versus these larger, more established financial institutions with these obviously large legacy infrastructures? Are those larger institutions kind of looking more to partner with startups, or are they going through transformation on their own to kind of shift how they're doing business over the long term?
Yeah, that's a good question, Kevin. I think, you know, it really depends on the institution. You know, I think you're seeing a lot of the larger players. You know, partnerships right now are the key, even though they've got these complex back ends. You know, right now, to really move at the pace you need to move at, you need to partner with some of the, you know, the innovative third parties or non-banks. And you're seeing that a lot of in the lending space. I think there were some announcements of how a lot of the big banks are using, you know, some of the non-banks at the front end for, you know, providing them financing for different types of loans. And so that's giving them the speed to market and the flexibility they need. Obviously, that introduces other types of risks. But I think for the banks in the big spaces, the big players, we're seeing partnership as being a key moving forward. And then as you start to move towards some of the super regionals, definitely they're along that journey as well, some further along than others. And then you've got some of the smaller banks and some of the credit unions that are just beginning that, looking at ways to do that and do that quickly. And so, you know, I would definitely say there's a different view on fintech than it was 4 years ago when, you know, a lot of folks were looking at them as threats. You're starting to see them as being a lot more advantageous in these partnership relationships.
Tyrone, thanks very much for joining me today to discuss some of these many interesting trends and insights you're seeing in the market around fintech and customer experience, AI, and so forth. I want to invite our audience to visit Protiviti.com, where we continue to publish a wealth of thought leadership and insights on these topics and many more, and also subscribe to our blog, The Protiviti View. You can find that at blog.protiviti.com. Experts and leaders from Protiviti, like Tyrone, are writing and publishing there on a regular basis, and you can keep tabs on what is changing in the market every day.